This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Welcome to the Back Row Fantasy Show with your hosts Jeremy Barker and Aaron Arms.
Welcome everybody back to the Back Row Fantasy Show. We are going to talk Dynasty rookie drafts. Keep in mind, anyone I talk about, if you move them up about a half round higher, that is what I would consider their proper spot in Superflex. Quarterbacks, half a round higher. Tight ends, half a round higher. So on and so forth. But let's not talk about the obvious. We know that Marvin Harrison Jr. is a top two or three pick, should be number one in most, you know, regular drafts, not Superflex. But Xavier Worthy is a name that's popped up all over the place, all over the board. I've seen him go as high as two overall. I've seen him go as low as the end of round one. What I'm talking about in particular here is 16-team leagues, but I will also compensate a little bit for 12, where I saw Xavier Worthy go last in round one. That was a 12-round league. But yeah, don't let Marvin Harrison fall. Don't let Malik Nabers fall just because he went to the Giants. They are devoid of weapons. He's going to be a weapon for them no matter who's playing quarterback. Hopefully, honest to God, it's Drew Lock. But Keon Coleman, another polarizing name. Early round one, I've seen him fall to the beginning of round two. Romo Dunze, you should not let fall. Keenan Allen is aging. He'll probably still be good for a few years, but that team is set up to be quite explosive on offense, so I expect Romo Dunze to have a decent year. I'm thinking right around 50 catches, 700 yards, 5 or 6 TDs. Probably not what we want from a guy we're going to take in the top 5 or 6, but, I mean, DJ's there, Keenan Allen's there. Darren Waller, if he does stay, is there. So I don't see Odunze just having a flat-out breakout year with those guys there. Even if they spread the ball around heavily, he's going to max out in that 700-yard range, in my opinion. I could be wrong. Maybe he's better than everyone there. We just don't know until the players actually get on the field. But I still wouldn't let Romo Dunze fall. Like, I've seen him falling in some drafts. He's still a premier talent, and I still fully believe in taking talent over opportunity in round one. Now, as far as rounds two, three, and four go, I start to lean more opportunity than I do talent. Because, as you've seen, especially with running backs, which is going to be a big part of this conversation I'm having with you, and you are not having back with me because I can't hear you, but running backs are worth taking in rounds two, three, and four, regardless of where they went. Think about some of the undrafted guys who have made their mark on the league already. The Isaiah Pachecos, the Jaleel McLaughlins. Not that he's, you know, that second one, not that he's went ham or anything like that, but he was a big part of Denver's rotation last year, and for all intents and purposes, looks like he belongs in the league. There's all kinds of guys. Remember, we're no longer in the days of round one running backs in the NFL draft. It's rare. It's Bijan Robinson rare. The best running back from this class, which I still think is pretty good, in Jordan Brooks, didn't even sniff round one. Nowhere close. So when I talk about running backs here, keep in mind, running backs are the position that everyone's punting on because you can find a starter as an undrafted free agent. Not likely, but you can, and you will. That's just the way of the league now. And even though we've kind of pushed running backs to the side in favor of receiver, 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 I still believe in drafting running backs aplenty in rookie drafts. Round three and four picks, not hard to acquire. So if you can acquire them by getting rid of some of the guys that may be fringe rosterable later, like I've made deals in the past 2 days, dishing out or trading away, you could say, Trey Tucker, Jalen Tolbert, young guys that I believe in that I'm not necessarily going to hold on to when I could trade them for a third or fourth round pick and grab a running back that could net me a first or second round pick with a big training camp. Or listen to this, the landscape of running backs these days, you want pass catching backs. The days of bell cows are over. I know that I'm preaching to the choir. We all know this, but that's why I'm not really looking at guys like Audric Estime in rookie drafts, because while I do believe he could be a goal line solution for the Broncos, I'm still very high on Javonte Williams. The fact that he got so many carries coming off an ACL tear, to me, says, let's get this guy as many reps as we can. He's healthy. Feed him. He may not produce the most. He 3.7, you know, yards per carry average. But let's get his confidence up. Let's let him know he's still our guy. And in 2024, let's see what he does a year removed from an ACL injury. Audric Estime, landing spot not terrible when you look at that 3.7 yards per carry from Javonte, but overall, he's either going to bust real hard or you're going to get some touchdowns out of him that makes him somewhat fantasy relevant. But if you're relying on touchdowns, a la Gus Edwards, it's not a good bet. I'd rather have the guy who might catch four or five balls, 60 or 70 yards out of it, maybe. It's a running back, probably more like 40 or 50, if that. But also gets a few carries in the process. Look at the Devon Achans of the world. Jalen Warren. Like, they may not be getting tons of handoffs, but they're compensating with receptions on the other end of that. So, first things first, in this draft, I heavily targeted, which I'm going to be talking about two different drafts, my two leagues and two leagues only. I heavily invested in backs that can catch the ball and also can run the ball in hopes that they can just make their mark. Grab the multifaceted dudes, leave some of the plotters to the side. A lot of folks are talking about Blake Corum and talking about how Kyren Williams, you know, the draft capital is not there and Blake Corum could creep in. Listen, Kyren Williams was fantastic last year. When you see a guy have that kind of season, just bank on it. Don't overthink it. Don't get fancy. Kyren Williams is absolutely the guy until someone shows otherwise. And if I'm the Rams, I'm feeding Kyren Williams. You didn't burn a first-round pick on him. You're not going to be careful with him and try to extend his career by giving him 10 to 12 carries a game. No, feed the guy. Blake Corum's there if you need him. I've seen him go in round one. I don't like that out of Blake Corum. This is not a strong running back class. Jonathan Brooks, I understand taking in round one. He could be the lead back in Carolina. Trey Benson, I understand taking in round one. I think that he'll take over for James Conner sooner rather than later. And there's really no one behind James Conner that's a threat to Trey Benson, in my opinion. Michael Carter was like a waiver pickup. DeMarcado from TCU was solid, and I think he'll be a nice rotational back for the rest of his career, and that was a bargain by them getting him. But Trey Benson, absolutely worth a first-round pick. Blake Corum, not to me, not at all. Wide receivers, you're just going to have to pick your poison. Like, who did you watch the most? Who did you like the most? I don't necessarily love Ladd McConkey, but that is a massive name. Everybody's saying, like, Chargers wide receiver one. Hell yes. I'm a big Josh Palmer guy. I think Josh Palmer could absolutely have a breakout year. I don't love Quentin Johnson, so I do kind of like Ladd McConkey there. But to me, Brendan Rice is super sneaky. Super, super sneaky. Wouldn't be surprised one bit if Brendan Rice is a better pro player than he was a college player. He's got a lot of the same qualities that his father, Mr. Jerry Rice, had. He just didn't show out with college production. So, and the production's fine. It's solid. But nothing wowed you about Brendan Rice. But he's one of those guys. Like, to me, Brendan Rice could be the next Puka Nacua, in my opinion. The intangibles and the IQ are there. He just didn't show out at USC, which also had some other options that got drafted in the NFL draft that, you know, looked pretty good in college as well. So let's just continue talking about some of these guys. You're, again, picking your poison with wide receivers. Not big on McConkey, like I said, but when we're getting down the list, Roman Wilson is a guy that I absolutely love, and people might, you know, bat an eye at you for taking him in the first round. I've seen him fall to the end of first round drafts in 16 teamers, but I think Roman Wilson, you know, Pittsburgh's track record with wide receivers speaks for itself, and Roman Wilson is a sneaky good grab at the end of round one in dynasty picks or dynasty drafts or the beginning of round two. Really love Roman Wilson. He's a name that pops out looking through my two drafts that are now concluded. He just jumps out as somebody who's probably going to be a wide receiver three on your dynasty team pretty soon, in my opinion. I like him more than Adonijah Mitchell. I like him more than Ricky Pearsall. Pearsall's risky to me. I have seen Pearsall go in a lot of round ones. Don't love that. I think when you have a choice between Pearsall and like a Troy Franklin almost a full round later, I like Troy Franklin more. The opportunity's better, and I feel like he's one of those guys that will develop and be a lot better than his draft capital ended up being. Another guy at running back, I'm looking through round one and two, and then we'll get to the meat and potatoes and the guys you should target, in my opinion, for round three and four. But Bucky Irving is a popular late first, early second round guy. Not a big Rashad White believer, so I like Bucky Irving there, but I don't really love the talent. This is more about opportunity to me than talent. He's talented enough, sure, and you can never predict the running back, you know, the way this goes. But Bucky Irving, to me, I'm not comparing him on like a talent level, but the situation is a little Damian Pierce-like to me. Like Damian Pierce, kind of the running back one by default. Then Devin Singletary takes over. Devin Singletary is going to play a large part in this podcast today with some of the talking points that I have for this rookie draft. But Bucky Irving, good enough to make a dent, take some carries from Rashad White. So I think that muddies up that backfield, but I would not spend a first-round pick on Bucky Irving. Kamani Vidal, same thing. You got Gus Edwards at the Chargers. You've got they signed J.K. Dobbins. If he can stay healthy, forget about Kamani Vidal. I don't like that as a late first, early second-round pick either. One guy that I like over just about everyone I've mentioned so far, Jalen Wright, Miami. Falling to like the late second round in a lot of drafts, early third. Raheem Mostert's 31. If you've watched any draft reactions or any dynasty rookie draft strategy style videos or podcasts, you're going to hear the fact that Raheem Mostert is 31 years old and Devon Achane is not a bell cow. Devon Achane is probably going to be 10 to 15 carries on a good day with plenty of snaps out of the backfield as a pass catching back. Jalen Wright is more than likely going to be that Raheem Mostert replacement that's 15 to 20 carries a game on down the line, unless Achane and his new balked up physique show that he can be that guy too. But I firmly expect Mostert and Jalen Wright to be a, you know, almost an even 50-50 split. Did I say Mostert? Jalen Wright and Devon Achane eventually being a 50-50 split when Mostert does slow down. Wouldn't bank on Jalen Wright this year necessarily, but I would gladly draft him, put him on my taxi, and hope that a mid-year breakout comes if Mostert doesn't stay healthy. Jalen Wright is being insanely undervalued on a Dolphins team that, you know, is so efficient at running the ball and limited touches, high gains in Miami. Don't let Jalen Wright fall past about the 205 spot or you will not get him. And as soon as Mostert is done, which is probably going to be soon, even though he doesn't look like he's done, he's 31. Things are going to happen. He's going to break down. I predict half a good season from Mostert this year and half a good season from Jalen Wright. Some other guys getting big play. Jalen Polk, the wide receiver the Patriots drafted. Again, there's no wrong way to do it once you get to the second round when it comes to receivers, but this is not one of my favorite guys. Xavier Leggett I liked, but I think the fit in Carolina is a little bit misleading. It looks as though he's going to jump right in and just, you know, run with it. Carolina's a really bad team, and I don't think just a few offensive weapons is going to change that. Jordan Brooks is coming off a torn ACL. I don't think he's going to just jump in and be a world beater. Xavier Leggett still has Adam Thielen to contend with. Jonathan Mingo's there, even though he didn't look great. Deontay Johnson is now there. Bryce Young, I really think that eventually he's going to be pretty good, but I don't think it's going to be year two. I think it's going to take another year, and I think Carolina, who knows when they'll be good. Xavier Leggett, not a surefire thing to me, drafting in the late first, early second. There's guys I would pass, I'd pass over Leggett for and grab some of the guys I'm getting ready to talk about in round three and four, and I'd feel a lot better about the value there. Quarterbacks, I'll touch on them real quick. Caleb Williams, if you need one, go get him. I think he's a absolutely surefire thing. I wanted Caleb Williams in my draft. I did not get lucky enough to get him. I had 112 in one of my leagues, but I traded that for Mike Evans. And wouldn't you know it, 112, Caleb Williams is who the pick was, where I was picking before. It's fine. My quarterbacks in that league are Baker Mayfield and Bryce Young. Not exactly outstanding, but I like Baker more than most. And I'll draft a quarterback next year if I have to. Anyways, McCarthy, those guys worthy of, like, you know, late first, early second. I think all the big-name quarterbacks are worthy, even Bo Nix. But let's focus on running backs, receivers, tight ends. Jermaine Burton is a name I've seen going before a lot of receivers I like more. I don't know about that. I would probably not take Jermaine Burton unless he fell farther than what he's going in drafts right now. Ray Davis, running back of Buffalo. I think that's a good opportunity. I don't think James Cook is a world beater by any means. And I think Ray Davis could very well cut into the production there. But again, this is not one of the pass-catching backs I'm targeting. So Ray Davis having a mid-second to late second round average draft position as of today, I'm going to pass on him as well. I'm looking more at guys like Malachi Corley, who I think will start day one in New York. Mike Williams does not exude confidence for me. I've never been a Mike Williams guy. I'll never be a Mike Williams guy. He'll give him some big games, but I think Malachi Corley becomes the wide receiver two in New York sooner rather than later. He's a guy that I have been targeting and who I have nabbed in one draft, and I am extremely happy about it. Got him in the late second round along with Troy Franklin. Both guys I really love for the value. This is where the value starts to me. Like guys like Ricky Pearsall going before them, I don't like. I'd rather hold on and wait for Malachi Corley and Troy Franklin. And this is where the value begins. After Ray Davis and before Malachi Corley and Troy Franklin. I love those two guys, targeting them everywhere that I can, because
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Early round three and early round four, maybe the first pick in each round, actually, teams traded up and to grab some of these guys I'm getting ready to talk about. So the draft capital's really a little different there. Jalen Wright, the draft capital's actually a third, not a fourth. Miami gave a fourth or a third to move up to the fourth in this draft to get him. So that's draft capital. Jalen Wright's going to get some run. Troy Franklin's going to get some run. Malachi Corley's going to get some run. And there's not a lot in their ways. And they're not only talented, but the opportunity's there. So, again, this is where the value starts. Looking on down the list, Michael Penix Jr. kind of falls after these guys. Don't like that at all. I'm hands-off on Penix Jr. unless you're a Cousins owner or unless he falls to the late third or fourth round. Just, it's going to be too long. After he doesn't play for a year and a half, that's when you go out, make a trade, get Michael Penix Jr. on the cheap. That's when you acquire a guy like that. Don't waste your draft capital. Jatavion Sanders, pretty popular tight end that's going at the end of round two. I've seen him early round two in a couple of drafts. I like the player. Again, I don't love Carolina. I don't love the fact that this guy is not Brock Bowers going to Carolina. If we're talking about Brock Bowers at Carolina, completely different story. Jatavion Sanders, there are better values at the tight end position in rookie drafts than Jatavion, in my opinion, and we will get to those. Ben Sinnott is one of those. I didn't love the player, but I'm going to go with a matrix theory here. I'm going to go with a situation that the simulation is repeating. So we've got Zach Ertz holding down the tight end one spot in Washington, which we can all laugh that right off. We know that Zach Ertz is not going to have a big year. It's not going to happen. He's going to get overtaken by a guy that was drafted in the second round. Yes, that's right, Trey McBride. No, that's not right. That's what happened last year. This year, it's Ben Sinnott. Ben Sinnott will take over. Zach Ertz will be done. Sinnott has a great opportunity on that team with Jaden Daniels. Not a lot of pass-catching talent around him. Don't love Luke McCaffrey. Don't think he is Puka Nacua Part 2. I think he could develop, but I don't see any big production in year one or two. So Ben Sinnott, I think, has a better chance at a big year than Luke McCaffrey. I think the wide receivers in Washington are fine, but there is no one who is going to command the ball. Terry McLaurin, very good wide receiver, not dominant. Jahan Dotson, maybe a good receiver. We don't know yet. Not dominant. Ben Sinnott has a great opportunity. Now I'm going to get to some guys that I drafted shortly after Ben Sinnott went. And this is early. This is a leap. But this is my strategy this year. When I have the opportunity to take a pass-catching running back with more upside than just being a pass catcher, I'm going to pounce. Round three. Both leagues, I landed Dylan Lobby. Las Vegas Raiders running back. Zamir White looked good at the end of last year, and I do like Zamir White as a runner. There's no one there that's going to catch passes. Alexander Mattison is just meh. He's just a guy. Dylan Lobby, they call him a psycho for a reason. He plays football the same way another guy on my sleepers list plays football, and it's what I look for in a third and fourth round pick, and it's just relentless, relentless, relentless. Dylan Lobby has a motor. I consider him to be the Watt brothers at the running back position. Like TJ Watt, not a massively touted pick coming out, but the motor, the psycho attitude. That's what makes TJ Watt what TJ Watt is. Dylan Lobby's TJ Watt at the running back position. I think he's going to be very, very solid. I think he might have a chance to be one of the biggest running backs out of this draft. Small school. Chances aren't in his favor, but my God, for a third or fourth round pick, for what Mel Kiper said is the best pass catching running back he's ever scouted. Remember, we had Danny Woodhead in our lifetime. Dylan Lobby is somebody that I am targeting hands down. First guy that I'm truly upset if I don't land. So keep him in mind. It's a 50-50. Not telling you that this guy's a sure thing, but as far as like production in year one goes, his path is wide open to catch about 50 balls and who knows what else. Spencer Rattler's a guy I'm loving. If you missed out on some quarterbacks or if the Bo Nix value isn't right for you, Derek Carr's just a guy. I don't love him. He plays pretty well. He's not a franchise quarterback. I think they'll figure that out sooner rather than later. They've got a nice young core. I think Kendre Miller is going to be really good. I think A.T. Perry's going to be really good. Rashid is pretty solid, and let's not forget they got Chris Olave. You get a guy like Spencer Rattler and some of the physical traits that he has, you pair it up with those guys that I just mentioned, not to mention Alvin Kamara, Jawan Johnson, a very athletic tight end as well. Spencer Rattler has a great opportunity for massive production if he can impress and if Derek Carr continues to look just kind of average. Love Spencer Rattler. Big target for taxi squads all across my leagues. Moving on from there, Audric Estime's kind of gone in this range in my drafts. Not a fan. Luke McCaffrey, like I talked about, meh. Javon Baker. Javon Baker is a nice value late third. That's where I've been seeing him go. He's got just as good a chance as anyone on that Patriots roster at producing. Yeah, I talked about Jalen Polk being a, you know, kind of a reach at the end of round one, early round two. Reason being, Javon Baker may be better. I like him more, so we'll see what happens. Jordan Travis is a guy that I took end of round three. Little early, I know, but we're talking 16-teamer here for me. I absolutely love Jordan Travis. He went in round five. Let's imagine he does not get injured, continues to be a Heisman candidate. He's probably a round three pick in this draft if he doesn't get hurt. Round three pick to me at quarterback, sitting behind Aaron Rodgers and nothing else, what, Tyrod Taylor? Both these guys are like 75 years old. Jordan Travis has a fantastic opportunity to become the starting quarterback of the Jets, maybe as soon as this year. I am not convinced that Aaron Rodgers is going to come back and be the same Aaron Rodgers. The dude's already losing his mind. I think he's going to lose his ability to be a top 10 guy in the league pretty shortly after. Next guy that I'm seeing that gets drafted in my leagues, this is the guy I was talking about when I talked about Dylan Lobby. I hope I'm saying Lauby's name right, or LaRobie, or Malik Washington, wide receiver, Miami, out of Virginia. Tyreek Hill may not be around much longer. This guy, Malik Washington, plays like he's playing in the dirt in the backyard against the bigger kids, and he's winning. This kid is super impressive if you put on the tape. The fact that they got him in the sixth round isn't surprising because this draft is loaded, but I think that it could be the biggest wide receiver value in the entire draft. Malik Washington, very likely to get a ton of play in the slot for Miami as soon as this year. And that's massive. Jaylen Waddle, not exactly the pillar of health, not exactly massive numbers. Great numbers his first 3 years in the league. But there's room for another guy to step up. Tyreek Hill's over 30. Tyreek Hill has talked about retiring early. Malik Washington, to me, for Dynasty, is a magical pick at the end of round three or anywhere in round four. I think it's a no-brainer. If he's sitting there and you're on the clock, take him whether you need a wide receiver or not. Another guy that's falling that is right there with Malik Washington for me, Jalen McMillan, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This guy probably going to get lots of slot play immediately as well. This is Chris Godwin's last year on his contract. I don't expect him to be re-signed. Mike Evans is 31. I expect him to still be good for a few years, but Jalen McMillan has a magical opportunity to be the future for the Buccaneers. I got him in the fourth round. Could not believe it And the only reason I didn't take him with my last pick, where I took Jordan Travis, is because I have no backup quarterback, and I had to take a couple flyers, which was Rattler and him, in hopes that I have a long-term backup quarterback. I was thrilled to get Jalen McMillan. Absolutely thrilled. Brendan Rice went after him in my league of record. Again, I like Brendan Rice. Again, like Dylan Lobby, it's not a sure thing. It's a dart throw, but it's a dart throw that I'm betting on. I think he could eventually be a very good starter for the Chargers, not just based on pedigree alone, but he has intangibles that wide receivers like a Puka Nacua has, because we didn't see anything that just popped out as like must draft. It's just when you do everything fairly well and you have a high football IQ, you get Brendan Rice. You get Puka Nacua. I love it. All right, here's my mega sleeper. This is probably, in my opinion, in this whole entire draft, the absolute best potential value of any player on the board, including Malik Washington, which I've got pretty high on my value chart. Tyrone Tracy, a converted wide receiver, played wide receiver at Iowa, played wide receiver even at Purdue, I think a little, converted to running back. He's 5'10", 205, 209, somewhere in that range. At running back, had a really good year for his first year as a running back. He goes to the Giants. The Giants have nothing. They have no weapons. Yeah, they drafted Malik Nabers, but besides that, Jalin Hyatt, you hope, develops into a weapon. Nabers and Hyatt could set up the run game, the play-action pass, then the run, play-action pass, then the run. The only person on the Giants that is even worth drafting right now at the running back position is Devin Singletary. And he had kind of a surgence, you know? Out of nowhere, Devin Singletary all of a sudden is a starting running back and a pretty good one. I don't know if I expect him to do that year in and year out. I think he caught a little bit of lightning in a bottle. Tyrone Tracy has the potential to be one of the few running backs drafted in this draft that we could see starting at some point in 2024. Not to mention pass catching. The guy was a receiver. He's an excellent pass catcher. And he looked good running the ball, and he's good yards after catch, and he's good breaking tackles. This guy, I don't even know. It had to be because he was a first-year running back to be the reason that he was taken so late in the NFL draft. You can wait on him. No one's going to take him, I don't believe, before round four. As soon as round four hits, Tyrone Tracy, all day, every day. The guy's got the biggest path to playing time of any running back that got drafted. Tyrone Tracy is the guy. The opportunity, number one, Tyrone Tracy. Looking on down the line, Will Shipley, another guy. I'm not scared of Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley's good. He's going to be your starter as long as he's healthy. He's also 27. Doesn't mean a lot. Don't get me wrong. Saquon's the guy to own. Don't get me effed up, as they say. Saquon's the guy to own, but Will Shipley is a guy that, in the event of injury, I think could leapfrog Kenneth Gainwell and be that main guy. And the fact that you can get him in the fourth round, the fact that he did what he did on a pretty good Clemson team the last few years, Will Shipley's a definite sleeper pick. Draft him and watch him. If you have to cut him later, so be it. But like, he is easily worth drafting and watching. Next on the list, I've got Theo Johnson. I like Theo Johnson more than I like Panther Boy. I can't even remember his name at this point. The tight end, Jatavius. Jatavius, that's his name. I'm bigger on Theo Johnson than I am Jatavian. Jatavian? Jatavius? That's what happens when you get off your mark. I'm not looking at the name. Theo Johnson, excellent mid to late fourth round target. Again, Giants have nobody. Not a big fan of Bellinger, to be honest. Darren Waller can't stay healthy. Theo Johnson, wide open path to get some playing time. Cade Stover, another guy I like. His path to playing time is blocked a little bit by Brevin Jordan and then Jordan Schultz. But neither one of those guys are a top flight tight end. If you think about last year, C.J. Stroud pretty much asked for the Texans to take Tank Dell. That worked out beautifully. Now you've got Cade Stover, who I can only assume CJ Stroud said, hey, my boy Stover, I know him well. He can be the best tight end on our team. Played with him at Ohio State. Pretty solid tight end. Probably going to be a better pro than he was a college tight end. And he was pretty solid in college. I love Cade Stover as one of the last picks in round four, especially if you need a tight end and you can taxi him and wait. Really like Cade Stover. Beyond that, Eric All, Iowa tight end. I don't love the guy, but he's an Iowa tight end. I didn't love Sam Laporta either until I started getting news feeds out of camp that he was looking unstoppable. Eric All, Iowa tight end. We could have the same exact thing here. Went to the Bengals. Opportunities wide open. Burrow, not exactly, throwing to tight ends all the time, but if he's going to, Eric All's probably going to be the guy. Mike Gesicki, I got plenty of experience watching him play, and I'm not a fan. I do not think Mike Gesicki is very good. I don't think he'll be, the tight end one in Cincinnati for very long. Wouldn't be surprised if Eric All leapfrogs him in camp. Last guy. There's other guys. If you got them, let me know on Twitter. I'll be posting this episode on there. Rasheen Ali of Baltimore. I'm a big fan of his. He went to Marshall. It's right down the road from me. Injuries are probably why he was drafted later, but he probably wasn't going any earlier except maybe a round earlier in drafts if he didn't get injured. Baltimore knows what they're doing. I don't love Justice Hill. I do love Keaton Mitchell, but he's coming off a torn ACL. That's scary enough to look at Rasheen Ali. And then you got an old Derrick Henry who might have one good year left in him, maybe two, maybe none. Rasheen Ali, kind of like Tyrone Tracy, he's got a path to playing time, not on the same level as Tracy, but it's about 60% of the way there. I like the guy. Baltimore runs the heck out of the ball. If Gus Edwards can be fantasy relevant in Baltimore, so can Rasheen Ali. I think Rasheen Ali is a better player than Gus Edwards, and that is absolutely the best ever pick for Mr. Irrelevant. If you've got that pick, or pick him up off waivers ASAP as soon as it's done, that's going to take care of it. That's going to end it. Talking about the drafts I was in, talking about the guys I like, I'm sure there's others. There's people that are higher on other players, of course. I did not mention Braylon Allen. Put him in the Audric Estime category. Not a pass-catching back. And just not a huge fan. Breece Hall, one of the few bell cow backs in the league. Not many players are getting carries after Breece Hall as long as he's healthy. That's it, guys. That's all I got for today. Back Row Fantasy Show, talking some rookie drafts. Chime in. Let me know if you want me to talk about anything else. I just want to get this stuff off my chest because the drafts are over. And I'm ready to play. I'm ready to go. Ready to do some trading. Missed out on a couple guys in my drafts. I'm going to see if I can acquire him. Who are your guys? Who are your picks? Let me know on Twitter, at The Back Row Show. See you next time.
This concludes another episode of The Back Row Fantasy Show. Thanks for listening. And be sure to give us a review.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.